Our gospel reading comes from John, the 12th chapter, verses 20 to 33. And this is kind of an odd blip in the lectionary because it is after the triumphal entry, which is next week. But I didn't set up the lectionary, but I also think it's a very powerful text, and I'm not sure where else they would put it. So listen for the word of God. Now among those who went up to worship at the Passover festival were some Greeks, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's try that again. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I'd at least like you to start out awake. All they said to Jesus was, "There are some people here who want to see you." And then Jesus just goes off talking about being glorified, about a grain of wheat dying, about this being the hour, about losing and keeping, loving and hating one's life, about serving and following. You could almost hear Andrew saying, "A master, these people here, they want to see you." But then he goes on talking about his troubled soul. And then there's this voice from heaven. And then he starts in on being lifted up and drawing all things to him. Meanwhile, the Greeks must have kind of slipped away, murmuring to themselves about the strange ramblings of this man Jesus. All in all, it is an odd and awkward kind of encounter. Jesus never really directly answers Philip and Andrew. His mind is obviously in other places. Or is it? Jesus is on the edge of this final week before his death. And when asked to meet some people, he wants to be sure they understand that to serve him means giving up one's life and following him, which right now is a road to suffering and death. So while not being very direct in his response, he's pretty clear. He's preparing to go down a road that no one wants to travel, and in so doing will bring new life in abundance, will glorify God, and will draw all things to him. And to serve him is to follow him. "The hour has come," Jesus says. "We have arrived at the place where there is now no turning back, no changing one's mind," though Jesus makes it clear that he has no intention of doing either. "The hour has come for God's plan to be unfolded, the part that requires the sins of the world to come down on Jesus in such a way that he will be killed, the sins of power and greed and jealousy, of human judgment and the fickle human loyalty and hostility, the sin of fear. It is all of that and more that draws Jesus into being betrayed, denied, tortured, and killed. And in all that, God will be glorified. The hour has come, but all is not ready. But now, for those who want to see Jesus, to serve under Jesus as one might a great general, because remember, he has just entered Jerusalem triumphantly, they must also be ready to follow him wherever he goes. And suddenly that desire to see him, well, it's just gotten pretty up close and personal. The time for those who are curiosity seekers is gone. The time for miracles and parables is drawing quickly to a close. We all want to see Jesus, to experience the power of grace and love. The trouble with that is that Jesus isn't willing to keep us at a distance with just the grace and the love. You want to see Jesus? Come along, not just for that miracle healing or the feeding of the 5,000, not just for the wonderful stories of wayward sons and found coins. No, if you want to serve that Jesus, you must also serve the Jesus who is taken to Pilate and see the marks of scourge and hear the mocking words. You must not turn away as he is put up on the cross, but rather you must be willing to follow, trusting as Jesus does, that this is not the end. Yes, the seed dies, but something new, something glorious, something fruitful will come from it. Next week, we will all gather to wave our branches and to sing Hosanna. We will rejoice in our Savior's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's a day of great joy, a day of hope. Maybe Jesus is going to pull this off. That's the hope they had. Maybe there will be liberation for God's people. We will become a nation again. And there will be great numbers of us here to be a part of that procession that day. But you know, as the week progresses, we imitate the disciples. There will be fewer of us here on Maundy Thursday around the tables in this room to remember the Last Supper, to share in the sacrament, and to wonder about our faithfulness to Jesus. Fewer still will make their way to Golgotha on Good Friday. We might make the excuse it's not as convenient because it's at Shepherd of the Valley and not here. To hear the hard words about our beloved suffering and death. But on Easter, we will all be here again, ready for that good news, ready to claim new life in Christ. For who doesn't love a party? Who knows, I might even wear the taco hat. You just never know. Now, I don't say this to chastise or to judge at all, because who wants to relive such pain year after year? And I've heard folks say they just can't bear to hear that awful part of Jesus' story. And yet, if we don't travel that road in some way, can we fully know the joy of the resurrection? If we cannot sit with Jesus in the garden while he prays, or be with Peter in the courtyard as he denies that he knows Jesus, can we fully understand our own discipleship and what it means to be people of Easter? Can we truly begin to understand the depths of Christ's love for us if we do not come to terms with his sacrifice? Can we come to terms with the fact that God became one of us and lived like us if we don't take the time to face his death, his mortality, the one thing that comes to all of us? Whoever serves me must follow me, he says. But Jesus also wants you to know that death is not the end. He dies, a seed dies, a part of our lives or ourselves die, and it isn't the end. It's just the beginning of more life, more fruit, and God is glorified in all of that. Without the dying, there is no rising, no new life. So we must face the cross. We must follow to the cross. What is this dying to self? Well, one way to look at it is that it's not immediately thinking about how something impacts you when something happens to someone else. It's the willingness to give up something precious to you because it helps someone else. Perhaps it's something that gives you comfort in your life or makes you more comfortable, or something that is a convenience in our first world lives. Something that you even have a right to have. Perhaps you've even earned it. And yet you willingly give it up. That's self-denial. Now, after all of this, Jesus goes into hiding. He doesn't really appear again until the Last Supper. The time to see him had come and gone. If the Greeks still wanted to see him, they would have to wait and travel to Golgotha and see him on the cross. There he wouldn't be hiding from anyone, but rather he would be in the plain sight of everyone. And he would have been lifted up, but not in the way that would draw all things to him. In fact, in a way that would repulse most of us. In fact, I would venture to guess that on that road, most people turned away from the sight of him. Most of us come here each week, hoping